This is CliffCentral.com. Auto Central, powered by Auto Trader on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, that time of the week. It is time for Auto Central, proudly powered by autotrader.co.za, your trusted motoring marketplace. My name is Chad Lukoff, and I'm joined in studio, as always, by Wilmarie Janssen van Rensburg.
Hello, hello.
How are we doing?
I'm very good. How are you?
Oh, all good, thanks. You've had a busy week.
Insane. It includes baboons, windpomper, yeah, a whole lot of interesting stuff.
I heard snakes.
Snakes.
Hey, that's quite intense.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But you've moved out to like the Gramadulas. You're just in the middle of nooks and nowhere.
I am, other side of Bronkhorstspruit. I'm going back to my roots.
What happened there? Did you see a map and throw a dart at it and say, I'm moving there? And that was sort of what happened.
I don't know how I found it. An agent managed to talk me into going that way. And then when I saw the place, I fell in love with it. And I have no regrets, but I need a 4x4.
And you have. So, you have purchased a slightly more off-road suitable vehicle.
Yes.
Because you were in an Audi, you know, 4 series, 4 class before that.
Yeah.
And you've now gone, you know, a little more raised in platform and that.
Yes. It's, you know, you've got to adapt for, obviously, environment. Some people love their SUVs just because they love them. I think they're great. But I love sports cars. So this is a complete change for me.
Yeah.
Complete. 10K dirt road, rocks.
So your first corner was like, I'm going to roll.
I'm getting news, like, found respect for SUVs.
It is. Once you drive them a little bit, then you start to realize, wow, there's something to be said about this elevated driving position.
Yes.
I can now actually see over things.
Yes.
I feel a little more protected, a little more guarded. And I think that is one of the reasons why, probably some of the primary reasons why SUVs are so popular and double cabs are so popular here in South Africa.
Yes. I mean, we saw they were the best selling, what's it, the Hilux now, just last month.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But you know, I have to tell you, Monday was chaos. I went to Cape Town. Just got to quickly give you some. 4 o'clock from Bronkhorstspruit. Still missed my flight. Had to change it.
That sucks.
Got the next one to Lanseria, which was a bad move. I should have gone the other way. Eventually get there, an hour and a half to Hermanus, hour there, hour and a half back to airport, 2 hours back. As I get on the plane, they ground it because it's a technical issue. So I got back to the farm at like 10. But in the process here, I managed to test, and I don't know if you have yet, the Mitsubishi, is it the ASX?
The ASX, yeah.
And I was driving that thing like a 2-stroke, I promise you, going to Hermanus.
Everywhere in the red.
Everywhere. The gearbox is interesting. It takes a while, but once
at those revs, it would be.
Yeah. Once it has momentum, my word, I kept it in there and I was doing high speed. And it
not
just
that we condone speeding here on Auto Central.
No,
you were just doing high speeds. Yes, highway speeds.
Yes, highway speeds in an SUV, and I couldn't believe how that car just sits.
Yeah. No, they've come a long way. You know, they certainly have progressed, and they are big, big sellers. Another voice that you were hearing, George Minnie.
How's it? Good
to meet
you.
Sorry, I just went off.
That's all right.
To hear it because, I mean, George, you've been just as busy, haven't you?
Yeah, no, I was out of the country for a week, and I'm glad to be back. You know, it's only when you go away that you realize that South Africa is
nice.
Is actually
how good
nice.
It is, yeah.
You know, I wish our border control was a little bit friendlier, but
a little more jacked up.
Yeah, a little more jacked up. I mean, even in other countries where they've got threats of terrorism, their border control is still friendly. I mean,
they still manage to keep some sort of professionalism and friendliness to it. You know, not tarring everybody with the same brush.
Yeah.
We don't really have that threat. We've got no sort of inbound threats.
Well,
but we're just.
But
threats are outbound. Our threats are, we're rotten at the core here.
But you know what? They don't even, have you noticed, George? They don't even look at you. They take your passport and chat to their buddy next to you.
That's what I was going to say. I got to the entry and I thought to myself, you haven't said a word to me. I gave her my passport. She looked at it.
Doesn't even
at
check
me,
your photo. I tell you.
Didn't say a word. Like everything was kind of mental telepathy.
Telepathetic.
Stamped it. Didn't even say thank you. Nothing. I said okay. Thank you very much. Have a nice day.
Choose bubble gum and talk to the one next.
It was pathetic.
It is sad. I mean, the state of the service, and I mean, this is also something I could wax lyrical about for more than just an hour that we're allotted here, and the service. industry in the country is in a shocking state. Yeah. You know, service delivery as a whole. Yeah. And it takes nothing. I mean, it takes nothing to sit there, just even a good morning, good afternoon. Mm. It doesn't even have to be good. If you're having a rubbish day, just an afternoon, you know, just a casual greeting, just acknowledging my presence.
Just be respectful.
I'm fine with that. You know, just acknowledge me as a human being.
Sounds like Parliament.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Madam Speaker.
But you
Madam
know what?
Speaker, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker.
No, but sorry. I mean, when I got to the other side on the entry into the United States, I must have stood with the passport control guy there. I mean, I'm a foreign person. And I chatted to him for about 5 minutes. And he was friendly and was like, oh, I've never been to South Africa. Really? I want to go there. You know, it was pleasant.
But it changes your perception about things. Yeah. And you almost don't mind waiting if you know that there's some sort of pleasant, you know, outcome at the end of this. Mm. That, you know, I'm not going to battle. I'm not going to sit you with a communication gap or something of the sorts. The person over there is going to be efficient. He's going to be courteous.
Care.
He doesn't need to
welcome?
Be overly friendly. You know? He could just courteous in his demeanor.
You know what? I don't think the border control realizes. We're not here to speak about border control, but about cars.
I don't think
they realize is that when people come into our country, they come and they spend foreign money here.
George, not only
foreign
that,
money,
that's
we
their
need
first
that.
Taste of Africa. They've just landed. They've walked through, you know, the gates of the airport, and heaven forbid that they haven't landed at one of the sky terminals, because then they've driven via like Nigel, it feels like, off one of the buses to get back to the terminal from where they eventually stopped this aircraft, and this is now their first interaction with South Africans, and. What sort of image is that you're portraying? Wow, these
people
are unfriendly. This is a cockchaulders.
If you have a business, give good service, and you will be making money in this country.
No,
for sure.
I know there's so much opportunity because of it.
Yes.
Absolutely.
You can buy a product, and it's something that I heard a while back, and it's so true. Product can be bought anywhere.
Mm. Service.
Service brings people back. Mm. You know, and it is. That's why you can sit there and you can open up a Burger King right next to a McDonald's and they're both going to do well.
That's why Starbucks is going to fly.
If you open a Honda next to Yamaha dealership.
Provided that you have the same sort of, you know, an exemplary level of service. Yeah. It'll keep them coming back.
Absolutely.
Well, you can join in on the conversation. You're at Autotrader SA on Twitter. And of course, our usual social media outlets, which is Facebook, Twitter. We're on Instagram as well. So if you'd like to go and give us a follow on Instagram, we post some great pictures there. We have Anay, one of our journalists. She's out on a Renault launch today. So we've got some pictures and information coming from that today, the new Kadjar.
Awesome.
I think that's how you pronounce it. She'll tell me how. I've only read it. I haven't really
they
heard
have
it pronounced.
They have some weird names.
They really do.
Cactus
hey?
So, and...
Cactus. Yeah, I know the cactus.
Yeah, no, it is quite odd. But we're not here to talk about Renault. We're actually going to be discussing Honda today. And joining us in studio is Johnny Grieff, Area Manager for Honda. Welcome, Johnny.
Hi, thanks for the invite.
Oh, it's absolutely great to have you here, and I hope you found the place okay and you're not too stressing it. You guys are on the back of a fresh launch, I believe.
That's correct. The new NC750, we had the launch last week.
X.
Wilmarie joined us. Yeah, the X. Wilmarie joined us.
It was definitely... look, I have to be honest, I wasn't on the initial launch, the first one, but I have ridden the previous model, and there is some big changes. It's exciting. It's not a sports bike, but it's definitely a commuter bike. And I think, am I right, Johnny, that is what you guys were aiming for?
Yes, it is a commuter bike. The initial one was the NC700. It was launched in 2012.
Yeah.
2014, they decided to up it to a 750cc. The one that we've got here now is also a 750, new exhaust, looks a bit prettier. And yeah, I think we're going to do well with it.
It's like a rugged look.
Yes.
Is it a Street Fighter? I haven't seen this bike. Is it a Street Fighter look or
it is a bit more of a naked sort of approach to riding,
but
it's still
semi on off road. I don't know what you call that.
It's like a dual purpose look.
Yes.
That's what you're looking for.
Yes. But I see a lot of them in the traffic nowadays.
Yes.
Not those, but that sort of, you know, almost.
It's a comfortable sitting position. It's.
I can ride in the desert or on the tar road kind of bike.
Yes, but this one is
an adventure.
Mag
an
adventure
wheels.
Bike.
More an adventure
mag
sort of.
Wheels,
yeah. Yeah, you were talking last time about mag wheels versus spoked wheels.
Yes.
What was that story again?
The spoke wheels are more suited for off-road terrain.
Okay. So why would they put mag wheels on this? Just to look pretty.
Basically, yes. And this is a commuter bike. It's 70% on-road. and 30% off-road.
Okay.
Okay. So it's basically...
Oh, so it's a Santon 4x4.
Exactly. Exactly.
We actually won Total Economy Run on this bike last year.
Ooh.
So, yes.
That's quite an achievement as well, hey?
Yes, it's yeah. really Total Economy Run. Mm. Over 30 k's to a litre. So
wow.
For commuting, you do 400 k's on a 14-litre tank.
Jeez.
That is... And it's starting to make sense as to why you're seeing so many of them in traffic, and why these sort of adventure and dual-purpose style bikes are becoming more popular. Yeah. And I'm going to take it right back to what we were saying initially about the SUVs, because there is a slightly higher riding position on these dual-purpose bikes.
Mm. More comfortable. I mean, you don't have to lean forward over the tank.
Yeah, there's improved visibility, maneuverability. It's not I don't think it's a very wide, cumbersome bike, and it suits commuting, perfectly.
Mm. Although one of those came past me this morning in the traffic.
Not slow.
It's not slow. It was a BMW. That bike was half the lane's width. I had to move over.
But isn't it with all the panniers and stuff? Yeah.
Well, no, his tank and the fairing around the tank was just so wide.
Okay.
And I've got the habit nowadays of, I think it's a good thing that people start commuting with bikes because it causes less traffic. I move out of their way and I do a wide berth so that he can come through. I had to almost drive onto the barrier.
You're not in a small car either, though, George. Yeah, let's be honest. You're not in a hatchback.
I have to tell you, this bike was, I was quite impressed. We went to ADA Academy in Hatties. It was over 2 days. Am I right, Johnny?
That's correct.
Journalists over two different days. And then we got a nice little welcome, few things to eat and that, and we went to the cable cars.
Cable cars, yes. Up the mountain by Hartebees
Bedam. I didn't see that one coming. I must tell you, I'm like...
You know that cable car fell down once.
I'm so glad you're only telling me now, because I didn't.
They revamped it. It's got a brand new cable car
system. No word of a lie. No.
It fell down. The people survived, but it fell down.
Oh, my word.
Into the trees. You know you're over the trees?
Yes, I know, but I didn't look. I was.
Think you have monkey problems now?
Baboons. No, this was, and they even took the bike up in one of the, it was the open cable car or something, to the top.
Oh, wow. Correct, yes.
We had some snacks there and then back down and
did you ride it
again.
Up there?
No, you can't.
It was just for show.
It was just for show, for photos, and just for the whole feeling of it. But very impressed. Very light bike. In my opinion, it's not for, obviously it's not for your racing type of rider. Okay.
But 750 is still powerful. I mean,
No. It's big enough for commuting.
Yeah.
But it's not super bike. It's not racing. It's for someone who wants to, like you said, with fuel, who wants to still have a light bike that they can maneuver easy, comfortable sitting position. It's got enough power when it needs it. There is one thing I didn't quite pick up Johnny, I don't know if you've seen it, but with the clocks, apparently it changes the color.
It's got a digital clock, yes.
Digital analog
display.
The
more efficient you ride, it changes the color from blue to green.
If you're heavy, I wasn't
on the
efficient,
throttle,
though,
then
yeah.
it goes to red. And
oh, that's why it was on red the whole time, because I couldn't
Oops.
See the color. We stopped on the other side. I'm like, guys, did you see green or did you see any colors? No, and I couldn't figure out why not.
Okay. Well, that's quite interesting. So the colors, the background colors of the clock change.
That's correct, yes.
So green, if you being fuel economical.
Fuel economical, it goes to green, yes.
And red.
But, what's the range on a bike like that? You're saying 30 kilometers to a liter. So if you're riding the green, what are you getting? 35? So is it a massive difference, 33?
Look, the figures say about 28.
Mm-hmm.
That's just normal standard driving, and then you can get anything over 30.
Yeah.
They say fuel on 14 liters, you get about 400 k's. Right. Yeah, on a tank.
That's like running on a sniff of
of an oil rig. Yeah. I mean, that's very light. And I like that idea. George, yes, I'm gonna advocate it. I'm gonna say, listen, we need to start commuting more on bikes. Mm. And I think that with the more bikes that there are on the road, I don't believe that there's going to be more problems. I just think the more aware car drivers are going to be of bikes.
Because they're one of those riders.
Not necessarily that, but just there are going to be so many more riders that you can't sit there and just, fade away and get caught by surprise by a rider, coming up the inside or lane splitting or at the lights or something of the sorts. There's going to be a constant stream of them. So you're going to be constantly aware of them. It's going to make people more aware of bike riders on the road. And I know it's one of those age-old sort of arguments, it's the tin can cabbies versus the bikes, and there's no respect either way. Bikers don't respect cars and cars don't respect bikers and that, but I've seen it work both ways.
100%.
I mean, anybody that's been overseas to any sort of Asian country will be able to say, you know, they've got a massive, massive biking population there and community, but the cars understand it and they allow them to weave in and out and are constantly aware of the bikes around them. And I think it's largely because of the number of bikes that are there.
Yeah, but this is quite interesting what you're saying now, because on the launch, Bernard mentioned something, Johnny, about the models that you guys decided to bring here and the ones not for now that's coming later. Which one is it, again, that's coming in later?
The DCT, the automatic box, is coming in about a month's time.
Okay.
That will be coming. There's two other models there. There's the NC750S, sorry. Yes. That is a sports-orientated bike. And then you get the Integra, which is a scooter.
Okay. Correct. That one's not coming.
That one is not coming. We didn't have a lot of success with the previous one. So.
But I think it's an overall, and that's something that he mentioned, industry-wise, the scooter thing. I mean, have you noticed? I think this kind of bike, dual purpose, that's where the industry have gone, not scooter. I think we have too long distances to travel in South Africa that it's just not, doesn't seem too suitable.
I see quite a few of them in and about the, town centres and
yes,
that sort of stuff.
Those areas.
And the residential areas and that. I do see them. But yeah, I think it's the limitations of, you know, the highway use. And I think it's Joburg as well. Mm. While you can get from, let's say, one side of Joburg, from, let's say, East Rand to West Rand, without using a highway, it's just so much more efficient to just use one of the ring highways and, you know, just
most definitely
get there. Mm. And I think that possibly puts people off going with a smaller scooter. But I'm really intrigued by this DCT option. Tell me more about that one.
DCT, it's basically a full automatic bike. So there's no clutch, there's no gear lever. The bike changes automatically.
Yeah.
It's a dual clutch system, so it's got two clutches. When you basically operate it, it engages first, third, and fifth, and then second, and it goes on like that.
Okay.
So automatically runs through the gears.
It's
automatic.
Yeah, I mean, we've got the dual clutch. I mean, there are many vehicles now, cars that come out now with the dual clutch systems, and it is, I mean, from the, I think it was Golf 5 GTI was one of the first ones that ran a dual clutch system in a production vehicle, and or mass production vehicle that was, you know, accessible. And it was a little hit and miss, but it's become so refined that, you know, you're getting DCT and you're getting hybrids of it that are just absolutely fantastic to drive. So I think with that technology in a bike, that could be
Haven't scooters and quad bikes been running that those dual clutches for a long time?
They've been running a CVT, you know, and a CVT is a constantly varying transmission, a variable transmission. So it's basically two varying pulleys working on a cone system with a belt between it, so that there's only one gear. There's never really a change, but it's changing the gear ratios as they go backwards and forwards. Changing per se. And I mean, the Honda Jazz was also one of the first small little cars with a CVT gearbox that was very popular. Yeah, that's essentially a scooter gearbox.
Yeah.
But it works really, really well, the CVT as well, especially on bikes. Some of the cars, not so much. So it doesn't really like the high torque sort of delivery. But I'm quite keen to see about this dual clutch, because that still operates with different shafts, the same way that a traditional manual gearbox works, but without, you know, without needing to actually physically change. It's doing the changing for you.
Yeah.
Besides the little obvious things, I think the backlight is new, it's changed.
Yeah, it's an LED backlight on the unit.
Wasn't it the gearbox as well? It's one of the big changes, much better or something than the previous
model. Much smoother,
model.
Yes. The exhaust pipes also changed a lot. It's
correct.
Got a more...
looks a lot better.
It looks a lot better. It's more resonating. It sounds better.
Yeah.
So it gives the bike a more sporty feel when you're driving it.
Correct.
Yeah.
And on the launch, you guys mentioned something, Johnny, and I think this is nice for consumers to know as well, is in terms of the amount of models, was it Europe that you sold some of the most?
Yes. In Europe, the NC750 sold over 130,000 units from 2012. In South Africa, we've sold 2,400 units.
Which is a lot, too.
Which is
a lot, yes. Considering.
In South Africa, we noticed the manual boxes were very popular. DCT, not so much. But there's been an increase on the DCT side where the guys are going for it. Even in Europe, over 50% of the bikes in Europe sold are DCTs.
Why do you think the change? Why do you think that's busy changing with us?
I think that people are just noticing it. And it's nice. It's for people as well, maybe who's got a hand problem that can't pull a clutch or stuff like that, they can actually use the DCT unit.
Just product knowledge.
It's got just product knowledge. Because you can use the flip switches on the side to basically change gears, or you can just leave it and drive.
Mm. Well, I mean, I think I would never drive an automatic car when I was younger. Now, yes. I won't drive anything else.
Yes,
Same. You know, so I think as people grow up, you kind of realize that
there is a place for automatic.
There's a place for automatic. You don't want to sit
there's
in traffic.
There's a lovely place for automatic.
You know, you just you want your drive to be as automated as possible. And
yeah, there's other things to do.
Yeah,
you're on makeup, text,
and drive and do makeup and stuff.
Yeah. No, but just in terms of the convenience and the comfort of the drive, and you know, George, we've all been there. We've all had the racy, you know, sporty cars and that, bang it through the gears. And yes, as you get older, I was an advocate for it. I was like, a manual car is the way to go. You're going to buy an automatic when you're ready
old
to die.
Old people only.
You know?
Exactly.
You
that
know,
was
when you've
thinking.
Lost the will to live, you're going to buy an automatic. And
it's nice to see bikes going that way now.
Yeah. It is. And that's exactly why. Because I've also started to change. And I said, you know, if I get a press vehicle that is a manual, I sit there and I go, whew, okay. And of course,
clutch
if it's
on the left.
Yeah, if it's something, you know, if it's something sporty, I can understand it being a manual. The Mazda MX-5 or something of the sort. Yes, yeah, a manual. Yeah, okay, it's that type of car.
Yeah.
But when it's just a, you know, a little crossover or something of the sort, a manual, traffic's going to suck. You know, why couldn't you have brought me a bit of a, you know, an automatic here? And I do, I appreciate the automatics, but they've also come a long way.
Yeah. But so, that's another big plus, hey, what you just said there now on the bike. Especially with this also, Johnny, because the clutch was very easy on the specific NC750X. Mm-hmm. But also with the DCT coming now in a month's time.
It's
a big thing in traffic. You know what? When your clutch hand is not used to it and you got to sit in traffic, let me tell you something.
You can't hold it anymore.
You feel it after a while.
But luckily enough, we've got a couple of models on auto. We've got the Africa Twin, the new Africa Twin DCT.
Beautiful. I can't wait to taste that.
That in DCT. We used to have the VFR 1200,
mm-hmm.
The F, that also used to be
also in a DCT. Hey?
Also in a DCT.
Wow. So how does Honda fare against its competition when it comes to this kind of technology?
Look, we're right up there. We're right up there with technology and goodies like that.
They're all good, hey. We were saying the other day, even with cars, it's like
there's no bad car today.
No.
Yeah. It's more about style and lines and personal preference.
The lifestyle. And which brings me to, I've noticed something with Honda. It used to be, yes, hold on, let me think. I told you I'm a picture person, eh? I'm just
recapping. It's funny if you draw that one.
With wings. Honda always is associated with the wing side.
Correct,
okay.
Yes.
But you're now going another way, heartthrob or something. There's like a, what do you call it?
A heartbeat.
Yes.
That's more in the VFR range. They got the VFR heartbeat. Yes.
So is that just coming in there? Is it a marketing
just
thing?
Just a marketing
or
thing, yeah.
Still sticking with the wings?
Wings still. Okay. Always be okay, the
wings. Okay, so it's a VFR marketing angle.
That's interesting because how closely linked is Honda bikes and the car?
Very close. Look, the R&Ds are all
So the history of Honda then is one history.
Basically, Honda started on bikes. Sergio Honda actually started on bikes. It was a bicycle with a little petrol engine that he put on, and that's where it started.
And of course, one of the most successful bikes ever is the Honda Cub.
In the Honda Cub, yes.
Yeah. I mean, there's
you
millions.
Know that. I am impressed.
No. I don't play all my cards in one shot. Yes. You know, I keep some up the sleeve, yeah? No, but I mean, there were millions of those sold, and it was immensely popular, especially in the Asian markets, like I'm talking about.
The Cub is still available overseas.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, you still get the Cub.
Wow. Little 50cc two-stroke.
Not too sure about the specs.
Let me tell you something. Remember the days of being 16 at our age and having to ride a popcorn machine?
Yes, 50s.
My first bike was an MBX 50.
Was it?
And we were rivals with the YZF. RZs.
Yamaha.
Ooh, RZ.
I had one.
And I remember changing my back cog to get more low end torque, and doing a whole bunch of stuff.
I'm even more impressed. MBX.
I even got that little 50cc to wheelie, which is a feat on its own with a 50. Yeah,
you used to get your little 50cc gangs.
I know.
There's actually a culture in Japan.
almost like a Vespa thing.
Like a Vespa thing. I know of them predominantly in Japan that, you know, sit there and build up these 50cc two-stroke motors still, and they go out and they race them and they build the old replicas and that type of thing. And
I had my engine re-engineered to be an 80cc.
Yes.
So you had a 50cc, changed the piston, and it was an easy thing to do in those days. So those YZF RZs were in trouble when they
But they didn't last very long. You did one stretch and then...
The RG Gamma. RG50 Gamma. Yes, that was it. And then, of course, remember, that was all blown out of the water as soon as the TZR Super 50 came out.
But I got to test you on one more thing. Let's see if you know.
Now you're talking about the time when I actually paid attention to Bonnie.
Well, Johnny and I actually know each other from quite a while ago.
Yeah,
okay?
Yes.
Well, I was going to ask him if you know where Honda started. Well, yeah. It started as Mitt McCaw,
McCaw in South Africa. As a distributor, yes.
Yeah.
Right, no, I did not know that.
Yeah. Honda, the beginnings of Honda.
Was Mitt McCaw.
Mitt McCaw in South Africa.
In South Africa, wow.
They were the distributor. They actually started in 1974, if you can't believe it.
Gee whiz.
Yeah. By the McClearys.
Which McClearys? Really?
Roger.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah. He was one of the founding members of Mitt McCaw in those days.
I remember working then. I started in the marketing. I was like an assistant. This was what? Going back 20 years?
20 years, yes.
20 years.
Wow.
Age given away.
And so how closely is, you know, you said Honda and bikes and cars are one and the same, really. Mm. So started with bikes. When did they, you know, go off and decide, well, we want to start building cars?
The first car was actually manufactured in 1962. It was a T360 and a S360.
Yeah.
Those were the first two cars that Honda manufactured. The first bike, the Cub, was manufactured in 1958.
Okay, so it wasn't very long afterwards.
No, it wasn't very long afterwards.
That's a few years.
Yeah. Yes.
But what did you mention earlier, just before the show? Is it something about Honda, most popular?
Oh, in the United States. Mm. Honda is one of the most popular cars in the United States. The car dealers are absolutely killing it. And the consumers are lapping it up.
Yeah. I'll stand under correction, but if I'm not mistaken, the Accord has taken their local car of the year, and for numerous years has been the best-selling, you know, passenger vehicle in the United States.
Yeah. I mean, I went to visit there, and I got a chance to kind of interact with some dealers, and the Honda dealers are loving it because. They have this air about them because they know that their car is so popular. It's like, and the guys
almost across, invincible, untouchable.
Yeah, the guys across the road selling VWs. Oh, that consumer's going into Honda. Eh?
Well, you know that Jesus had a Honda, hey?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my word! Where
but he never
we
spoke
going?
Of it. He says, "I do not speak of my own accord." We're going to take a quick advert break, and when we come back, we're going to chat some more about Honda. And then we're going to move over, and we're going to chat a little bit about what we were discussing earlier, and that is some double cabs.
Choice. Sometimes you have it, and sometimes you don't. Auto Trader gives you the choice. Now you can shop, compare, and buy new cars. Watch our expert video reviews and research before you buy. Auto Trader New Car. The choice is yours. Keeping it real on CliffCentral.com.
Auto Central, powered by Auto Trader on CliffCentral.com.
And we're back. Well, we're going to kick things off with our review. And our review this week is a little different. Because it's not just a singular car that we're reviewing, it's actually a shootout that we did. And it is all the rage now, and as we have been seeing in the media, is that, well, the Toyota Hilux has been launched, and the new Ford Ranger was launched not too long ago. And, seems that the in thing at the moment is comparing all these vehicles against each other. We got hold of a Ford Ranger 3.2 double cab, a 4x4 XLT Auto, and a 2016 Isuzu KB300, the D-Tech double cab, also a 4x4
shootout.
Auto. So we did a little bit of a shootout. Not so much
Thanks
a shootout, but a bit of a comparison. And we went and we paired them up against each other, just on a bit of a rough stretch of road, and wanted to see how they fare. You know, once you start flexing the muscles a bit, how do they compare? Now, straight off the bat, and to pretty much just sum it up, they've come a long way. And especially in terms of interiors. And as you know, I'm big on interiors. But for the longest time, Buckys have always felt sort of agricultural, you know. And even double cabs, as much as they're saying, oh, it's the luxe version and that, it's just...
Farm.
Yeah, it's just very blas. It is. It really is. You know, there's unimaginative styling to the interior, the plastics, your typical sort of overly hard wearing. I don't want to say that they're flimsy, they're hard wearing. You know, it's built like Lego bricks, but just uninspired and not fantastic to touch or look at. And they've come a long way. And this is mostly evident in the Ford Ranger. The Ford Ranger has a very, very nicely trimmed interior.
But Ford is doing, with styling, they're doing amazing
very
things. I mean, all of their cars that... Is it the
Wild Track that you...
No, I'm thinking about the Ford Fiestas and cars.
Fiestas, that Fusion.
The Ford Fusion is absolutely gorgeous. It's, you know, the front
inside
of the car.
Inside and out.
And out, yeah. And even the back of the car. I mean, they started with the previous Ford Fiesta. I liked the look of that one.
Yeah.
And then I thought
They couldn't do any better.
And then they brought out the Ford
Fusion. The current sixth generation Fiesta, also fantastic. Yeah.
And that's now coming through to their SUV or their Bucky.
The Bucky. Well, I mean, you're seeing very similar styling traits. They're all going with the trapezoidal grille now, which is that sort of six, almost hexagonal, but not equidistant. Never mind.
What on earth?
It's math terms. Never mind.
It's this long and that wide.
This long and that wide. While we're doing this on radio, you can see how long this long is and that wide. That's that wide. And but they bring in just basically the same big open mouth grills that you're seeing on the Fiestas and the Focuses, and that they're bringing that into the off road and the more SUV style range. So we're seeing it in the Everest. We're seeing it in the Ranger. And they've went and they've thinned out the front headlights of the new Ranger. The rest of the sheet metal is still pretty much the same, but there's a couple of revisions on the inside, and the biggest one for me is the fact that they've actually included Sync 2 now, the infotainment system. Uh-huh. Sync 1 was the small little screen in the center, miles away from you. It felt absolutely miles away, and you had what looked like an old 1980s switchboard just below the screen. It was just buttons. You really had to know what you were looking for.
Normal, I believe.
Yeah, one of those. You're expecting to find a 6mm jack that you need to plug into, you know, to access Bluetooth or something. But they've gone now with the Sync 2 system, and this is now the larger, I believe it's an 8-inch or 7-inch touchscreen unit.
Wow.
And that is so much easier to use. I first saw it in the Fusion just over a year ago. And to see that it's coming in now, we were chatting about it last week with, was it with Arthur last week? And we were discussing about how Sync 3 is out now. So this is Sync 2, and Sync 3 has just been launched overseas. So we're going to start seeing it filtering in terms of facelifts and that.
Yeah.
But it's really looking good. The Isuzu is still a little on the back foot there. It doesn't quite have the same sort of beautiful flowing interior, but they've also now got an improved sort of MyLink system happening there with a touchscreen, and that is a massive, massive upgrade, and it really does. It makes spending time in the Isuzu wonderful. Leather seats are optional in the Isuzu, whereas they're not optional. They're a standard feature on the XLT and the Ford. But
my biggest bugbear, the back seat being able to recline.
Canted.
No, because that in any 4x4, that
way
for
too
me
upright
is way too upright. And that's my biggest bugbear in a 4x4 is sitting straight up in the back seat.
Yeah.
I mean,
the ergonomics as a whole of these are considerably better now than what they were, you know. So you really need to take a look at the current range. You may as well be sitting inside an SUV.
Yeah.
So you take the Ranger and you take the Everest, and you really can't split them. It's an Everest with a load bay.
Mm.
You know, that's pretty much how it is. Yes, you are going to feel slight differences in the suspension. And
Still leaf suspension in the back.
As far as I know, yes. It takes the load.
Yeah.
And that is quite well composed on the Ranger, on the road. But it's when you start going off-road and you start pushing it a little bit that it seems to start hopping a little bit. You do get the feeling that you need to load it just to stop it from crashing into things. And that's where the Isuzu feels considerably better. The Isuzu doesn't have the same sort of road manners that the Ranger's got. But off-road, it starts to make sense.
Mm.
So if it is, like, vulnerably like yourself, that needs to do, you know, a combination of road and off-road, chances are you're going to end up preferring the Isuzu. As good as the Ranger is on the road, because you're doing as long a distance as you are off the road, the Isuzu starts to make sense. And it just feels that little bit extra in terms of a little more solid in terms of build quality and the way that it's put together.
That's so important, especially if you're on like a 10K dirt road every day. You start noticing those kind of things.
The little rattles and the little flexes and that sort of stuff. And and where the dust and, you know, dust coming into the cabin and that type of thing. And the Isuzu also has a better range.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Now, they've both got the same, I believe it's a 90-liter tank, a 90-liter fuel tank. You can get about 1,000 kilometers on, is it 90? No, they're 60, 65, I apologize. And you can get about 1,000 kilometers out of the Isuzu. You're just going to push the Ranger to get 900 out of it. Hmm. So there's a decent 100 kilometers difference in terms of the fuel economy.
Which is quite a bit. Yeah.
And you also pay less tax on the Isuzu. Because of a smaller motor, it's only a 3-liter motor, whereas the Ranger's a 3.2. It's a 5-cylinder. It's a lovely motor, and the gearbox works brilliantly with it, as does the Isuzu. You know, you really can't fault them in terms of their 4x4 systems and the gearboxes. Those are pretty much
level pegging. They use it for business use. And
yeah, you could use it for just about anything. Mm. You know, you could really cart people around in it as well. So, and price-wise, they are very similar in price. There's about 3,000 rand difference. Ford, you're looking at 566,900, whereas for the Isuzu, you're looking at 563,500. So there's, 3,400 rand in that one between the two of them. But with the Ford, you do end up paying a little more, as I say, in the end of the day, because of the tax, the emissions tax is about almost double what the Isuzu's is.
That's something that people generally don't consider. You don't look for that. So I think it's good to know.
Yeah, but it's built into the cost of the car.
The final price, yes. But the figures that all of them will quote doesn't include it often. Often it doesn't include it, and you need to factor that in. It's not a massive amount. You know, you're talking the difference, let's say, but it's a little more than the difference here. It's going to be, let's say, 3,000 Rand on the Isuzu, where it's 6,000 Rand or 7,000 Rand on the Ranger.
Yeah.
So it is a little something to factor in. Mm. And then you're also talking about a bigger motor in terms of insurance, in terms of your risk, running costs and that, the long term, the fuel consumption and that, the Ranger is possibly going to cost you a little more down the road. But go and take a look at the video.
Valuable,
it is up on the Auto Trader YouTube channel and being punted and promoted all the way through our social media channel. So go and follow Auto Trader SA on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, the whole works, and go and check out our YouTube channel. Go and give it a subscribe. New videos every Monday. New review. So it's like a weekly episode that comes out, and you can go and watch it. It's only a couple minutes long. You're not going to chow your daughter.
Do you know Honda's Twitter handle, by the way?
No, sorry, not with me.
Sorry, I put you on the spot there. But I'm going to put you on the spot again. I want to ask quickly. Sure. Now that we're on the whole, has Honda, double cab, 4x4, whatever, has Honda considered that, or am I missing something? There's no Bucky with Honda coming.
There is a Honda Bucky. It's called the Ridgeline. It's in America. Actually, one can say truck of the year in America for a couple of years.
Really?
Yes. It's called the Ridgeline. Unfortunately, it's not destined for South Africa.
Not viable.
It's left-hand drive that side, and
I need to switch it over. And if it's only produced for the American market, it's only left-hand drive.
That's very interesting, hey?
Well, we've got the likes of the HRV in that here, which is going to sort of serve those sort of purposes if you're looking for that elevated seating position, space, ground clearance and that. It's going to offer that quite comfortably. You're just not going to have that loading bin in the back.
That's great.
I would have just thought, because Honda, we're talking generators, we're talking motorbikes, we're talking scooters, we're talking
marine
cars, everything.
I think you guys even make a chainsaw, don't you?
No, unfortunately not a chainsaw.
No, no. Pity.
Why would you be looking for a chainsaw? Or even
George, do you own a chainsaw?
No.
You should.
No.
It's an empowering thing.
But I own a generator.
Yes.
And I believe Honda makes generators.
Yes.
There we go.
They do. So it's just interesting because it's huge. You guys are on every level, and I was just wondering about the whole Bucky thing.
That's smart diversification of revenue. I mean, you kind of when the roundabouts come, you taking the swing on the other side.
No, definitely. Honda's one of the biggest engine manufacturers in the world. Like you say, there's lawnmowers, generators, engines, marine.
Weren't they? Wasn't the Honda engine in some form built for aircraft?
Yes, there is the Honda Jet.
Yeah,
That's also. That's just been done now.
Yeah.
So, is that a new thing?
Honda Jet, yes.
Oh, fabulous. Oh, George would be interested in.
No, we even got robots. We call him Osima.
Osima.
I've seen Osima. And I mean, that's Honda's sort of venture into autonomous.
New technology.
Autonomous technology, basically. I'm not going to say artificial AI. Intelligence per se, but almost just being a bit aware of surroundings.
It's a robot controlled by a person that can run, kick a ball, walk up steps.
Where is he?
Fall down them as
well. Is it a he or she?
It's a he, Asima. it's a he. He was in South Africa a couple of years ago. We had him at one of the big shows here.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So we need a she.
We need a she, yes.
I'm just saying. We were saying.
I also think in pictures. Come on. Is it like a USB drive or?
I want an upgrade.
Yeah, I don't need.
What were you saying earlier? Something about the key. We're going back to NC7.
Yes. Yeah.
So what is the the Honda 750? What does it go for?
Honda 750 at the moment, the manual is selling for 99,999, so it's just under 100,000.
Which I think is a fantastic price, hey?
Yes. And then the DCT will be selling for 110,000 rand.
That's right, we're saying it's only like 10,000
rand
difference.
Yes.
So it's really a preference.
What type of gearbox you want.
Yeah, I mean, that's only 10%, which, you know, possibly sounds a bit high when you say it 10%, but that's really not that much.
But gearbox is a big deal in people's lives, yeah. If you look now. So
I can tell you what, I would be keen to sample both of them, actually. Mm. I would be keen to see, you know, how does it ride in terms of an enthusiast going around, you know, riding still with a clutch and that, and how good is that DCT in comparison, and, you know, how does it stack up when you're riding in traffic? Because I'm actually quite keen to sample that. I would love to.
Hint, hint, Johnny.
No, I think when the rev counter gets up there, you're going to be reaching for the clutch.
Look, it's got a serious rev limiter. Restrictor. What meter?
Yeah, rev limiter, yeah.
Yeah, full on. It's like a reverse gear. Felt it a few times. But there's also something about the key. HISS.
Yeah, Honda Ignition Security System. It's a wave key. It's got a transponder in. So basically, the bike won't start if you don't have the correct key in it.
Okay, so is that good for theft?
For theft as well, yes.
Because, I mean, these days we know about all the hacking and the this and the that. Is it safe or are we going to test it?
No, it's safe. basically, with a key, if somebody forces a key in there that's not supposed to be in there and they try and turn it off, hotwired or whatever, the ignition system will completely burn out. So you'll have to take it to a Honda dealer to get it fixed.
And they'll pick it up
then.
Because, I mean, one of the things I saw on one of the other manufacturers these days is you can't just build this bike over or parts of it onto this one. Now, especially the route be busy going now with new technology, et cetera, et cetera. So it just doesn't work. Mm. So would I be right in assuming you can't just put a different ignition in there? Because it's just not going to work anymore. It's not like the old days. Not just building race bikes anymore.
Nope.
No.
Buy a new one.
The technology has changed. I'm gathering that it is still a physical key and you haven't quite moved over to a keyless go stop start system.
It's a physical key.
So it is still a physical key.
Are there any bikes with keyless? Keyless,
I believe
start.
That there are. I can't recall.
What, that you put it in your pocket?
Basically, in the pocket.
Yes, like the Diavel.
Okay. Yes, that's right. Yeah, it was the X-Diavel that I saw.
Okay, so the technology is there and the manufacturers will get there.
It's something that's filtering down into so many of the cars now, whereas it was limited to only your S-Class and your 7 Series and that. The technology, and it's how it goes with everything, you know. As soon as, you know, the research and development is almost paid for, with those initial couple of models, then it's only the cost to produce that is now the overall cost. And now you can put that in a little Fiesta, you can put it in a little Honda Jazz or something of the sorts.
What fascinates me is you get security guards standing at some exits to shopping centers and they stop you to look if your car's got a key in it. I don't know if you've experienced that.
So now there's no key. What does he do?
So my car's got keyless entry, so my key's in my pockets all the time.
Yeah.
They stop, they have a look, and they say, okay, go.
Yeah, so what are they looking at?
What were you looking for?
Yeah.
Actually.
You know, as soon as you sit there and you see that there is no ignition barrel, then you...
Any size
I'm wondering
is
if he's
you
gathering...
Are?
Well, okay, if there's no ignition barrel, then... Yeah.
It's got to be right.
What does he do with a Porsche?
On the left-hand side.
Yeah.
In America, when a week before last, I got the opportunity to get a ride in a Porsche Speedster.
Oh.
1958.
One of the proper sort of 356 Speedsters.
Wow. Proper. Ooh, no, original, nice. No refurbishment. No panels being redone. The carpets were
real antique.
Real antique, yeah. So I think the carpets are the only things that were redone.
Original 50s model.
Original 50s model, the James Dean one.
Yeah.
Wow.
Absolute beautiful car. Beautiful, beautiful car. I'll show you pictures.
That must have been quite an experience. I mean, slow by today's standards, but just, you know, I think the noise and experience must have been absolutely fantastic.
No, it was brilliant. I mean, you can't help The windscreen is just too small. The wind just gets in there. There's nothing. You don't want to do anything about it.
You don't want to.
Yeah.
Shani, I just want to quickly, because I know you're going to get going here, Chad. I want to ask you a question that so many people want to know. Since the, because the Japanese came, took completely over Honda, how long ago was this? This was quite a while ago.
Honda South Africa came in 2001, January 2001, started operating, yes.
Okay, because, I mean, it's interesting to know. It's part of the history of Honda. How is it working for the Japanese? And I mean, what is percentage-wise in terms of South African employment there? Do you know? Is that, you know, because you still want the heart of who we are.
Of who we are, yes.
Yeah, because we're passionate about Honda too.
Yeah, look, like I say, we started in 2001 actually, January 2001. President is Japanese. We just received a new president now, Mr. Kanaka-san. Yeah, so he's just started now.
Okay.
He took over from Nakamura-san, which was here in South Africa for 8 years now. And look, we've got a Japanese contingency. There is a lot. We've got a couple of Japanese cars there, but we've got a lot of South Africans in there as well. Indian, all over, every race.
So everyone, okay.
Everyone, yes.
Anyone passionate about wings, basically, about Honda?
Everything, yeah.
In the cars.
All the people working at Honda is passionate about Honda, I must say that. Look, we enjoy our product. We love our work.
But you've been there, I mean, for how long now?
20 years with Honda, yes. I was 5 years with Mitmuk. 5 years with Mitmuk was 21 years almost. So it's 5 years and 16 years with Honda South Africa now.
Okay.
Impressive. So, so you've seen a lot of change and growth, you know, come
change,
and go in
growth,
the company.
Everything,
yeah.
Yes. Look, 2011, we actually got upgraded as a Gempo, to put it that way. We handle the whole sub-Sahara Africa SADC. So we handle everything from the equator down, Seychelles, Madagascar, Mauritius, all that. Okay. We supply those countries with Honda products as well.
Okay, so that's a good market to have, you know.
Good market to have,
especially,
yes.
I mean, with Honda's renowned reliability and durability in, sub-Saharan Africa, it's absolutely fantastic. Yeah. It's the same way, Honda's gone pretty very much the same way that Peugeot was in the late 70s, early 80s. It was regarded as indestructible, and I think that's largely what Hondas are known for now, both in terms of bike and, you know, car
bikes
is
and
the generators as well. I mean, generators and marina, that is just indestructible.
Everything.
I mean,
it's
fantastic. Quality, yeah. Oh.
Tell you something you don't know about marine. Some of the marine engines there are actually car engines.
Wow, really?
Your 100 horsepower and your 1900, that's a Jazz engine.
Really? Wow. So the same platform.
Same platform. 250 is a 3.6 V6 motor,
that.
Yes.
Yeah, wow.
It's a Accord motor, so yeah.
So what do we have to look forward to from Honda this year? I mean, granted, you're on the bike side of things, but what else do we have to look forward to this year?
Look, this is some new models that we're bringing in this year. We got a little commuter 125 that we're bringing in. There's a new superbike coming. That will only be the third quarter of next year.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah.
Mark down in the calendar.
Well, it's about time. Yeah. Because I was going to... Yeah. It gives him time to practice.
Mm. Yeah. We've got some exciting
Ouch.
<models. laughs>
It kidding. Was a little bit of a burn, but I'll take it where it comes from.
Sorry, I had to get it in. So, okay, there's some exciting stuff.
Yeah, there's
stuff.
Some exciting
awesome.
Look, we're always looking for new models to bring in and... Yeah.
That suits our market,
suits
like
our
you
market.
Were saying at the
yes.
launch.
Yes.
I'm curious, how many people do Honda employ?
Currently, you bring my mistake.
I'm so sorry.
That's fine.
A couple of hundred or a couple of thousand?
No, it's about 130 staff in the office, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And in Midrand area?
In the Midrand area, yes.
Stunning.
Mm.
Okay. Well, Johnny, I want to thank you very much. Johnny Clear, for the area manager for Honda. I want to thank you very much for joining us here on Auto Central. It's been an absolute pleasure finding out about the bikes and the Honda company and that. We've got a few minutes to go, so what do we have on the cards, events coming up?
Well, I just have to say this as well. Are you aware of in the racing? Have you been watching racing at all in any way, shape or form? Sorry, I'm putting everyone on the spot today.
Not really, no.
But just to tell you, our South Africans are doing really well.
I did hear Binda did absolutely fantastic in GP3.
Absolutely brilliant. But all over, you know, we've got, we've got several South Africans this weekend as well, by the way, 16-7. That is this weekend, hey?
Yeah.
April. There's
yes.
Yeah, we've got South African. I'll just tell you now quickly. Sorry, I just want to get all the names because there's so many. Former SA A1 GP driver Simpson is also at the top in US.
Yeah.
We've got Yes. You know what I mean? We've got about five, Simpson, van der Linden, Pepper, Aberdeen, Denison. What's it? I don't know how you pronounce
it. Is this the ADEX or?
Different classes in motorsport.
Different classes. Okay? Oh, okay.
But
I wanted to say
the
jeepers. Yeah.
Top of their game.
So Calvin, Tamsin, all of them in there?
All of them are in there. South African drivers. There's no bikes, unfortunately, here, except Binder.
Binder, yeah.
That's actually a podium. Top in competing in the world. So it's really, really amazing for us. I think it's the first time in a long time for South African competitors, motorsport. Because, I mean, it's small here in comparison. Yeah.
You know what? I think that on a future show, we need to get somebody from SASCOC in here and find out why are these essentially international athletes not being supported properly. Is it just why? Because it's motorsport.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to support the negative, but if you look at our market, it's just so small. I mean, drop in the ocean. I'll tell you, a very quick statistic. Yeah. In South Africa, there's roughly 2,000 car dealers. In America, there's over 35,000 car dealers.
It's so just the another scale, ball game.
It's another world out there.
Yeah. And in all honesty, in terms of popularity on TV, motorsport comes 19th, and that's behind darts. Mm. And it is sad. It is really, really sad.
It's actually ridiculous because it costs so much.
It does. It takes every cent you
got.
All right, folks, but we've run out of time. We want to thank you very much for tuning in to Auto Central. Big shout out and thank you to Johnny Grief.
Thank you very much.
George Minnie.
Thank you.
And Wilmarie Jansen from Rensburg.
At SA Speed Queen.
At SA Speed Queen. We'll see you here next week, same time, same place. My name is Chad Lukoff. Thank you and bye-bye.
Auto Central, powered by Auto Trader on cliffcentral.com.